Wow. Okay. I think we can go straight into questions. I won't even comment because I'm sure you have your comments ready. Please note, we would really like you to stay on topic and also to ask one question. One. Put up your hands. One. Just one. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I'll start here. Oh, do you have a question? Okay. And please introduce yourself and just go ahead.
The name of Jesus is to be praised. My name is Misheni. Mike, I have a question. It's twofold, sorry. Is it possible, perhaps this is a question for many, is it possible that these things about Africa were added to the Bible later on? I know the answer, but I know there's someone who's asking that question, so I'll just ask it for them. Secondly...
Could you clarify what things, please?
The things about Cush being in the Bible and the Ethiopian eunuch.
Oh, okay. Cush that we can dispense of very quickly because if you say, added later, I don't know what you would do to the Jewish scriptures that already talk about Abraham and all that. You can, if you manage to cook Cush in the New Testament, you can't cook the Queen of Sheba in the Old Testament, because it's already in the Jewish scriptures.
That is correct. Thank you. Part two, which is just, it's part of the, okay, it's not a lie, I'm lying. Yes, I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Shelley Msimbi. I've been told to ask one question. I have a lecturer, and the problem he had with Christianity is that he said it was introduced to us by other people. He was using missionaries. And he said, if you go to Western countries and Europe and America and all, right now they are not as much into Christianity. They have the highest rates of atheism, but we are clinging on so much to a religion which other people introduced to us. And now we want to think that we know that religion better than them. So why would we do that? And also with a friend who was saying that, why should we follow a religion that was introduced to us by other people? I tried to argue that Christianity is universal. God's plan was for it to reach everyone. And she said, I tried to tell her that it's just that it started with the Jews and it spread to us over time. And she said, then why are we following someone's oral tradition? Those are people's traditional practices. And I tried to tell her that, but she said the argument was not convincing enough.
Okay, thank you. Let's begin with your second question. If, in any case, they think Christianity is Jewish, they are also wrong, because Christianity predates the Jews. Adam was neither Kenyan nor Israeli. He's the father, the progenitor of the entire human race. And so the Bible presents Jesus as pre-existing from the foundation of the world. And the fact that his disciples spread the faith around the world does not mean that the faith was starting then. In fact, you realize Jesus quoted a lot of the Old Testament scriptures and so on, therefore validating the history that came before the New Testament. So you can approach it from that vantage point and therefore say Christianity is not even Jewish. It is universal. It's God's story, love story to man. Now back to your first question. If the West is refusing Christianity, pretty much like becoming more atheistic, like you said, and so on, and they are the ones that brought us the faith, etc., there are two quick comments. First of all, if they are giving up the faith, it means that it was not theirs. Let them go ahead and give it up. We still have our... In fact, Africa right now is probably the most Christian region in the world, because the faith was ours. Now, if they're tired of it, we are not tired of it. And sometimes you think for people to have a faith, you have to sort of persuade them and, you know, take it back to them. If they don't want it, we are happy to keep it. Now, on the other hand, if anyone argues that Christianity is a Western or European religion, they still miss the mark, because in terms of the immediate spread, it began in Israel. And the last time I checked, Israel was not in London. So anyone who writes any sentence like Christianity is a European religion surely should go back to school. Surely.
Okay.
Praise God. My question is in two folds, like Michelle is. Quick question. You mentioned some lady who had written books and had done some research. What is the name?
Grace Ogot.
Grace Ogot. What, in a nutshell, could you explain what she discovered about African Christianity back then? And the name of your new book. Thank you.
Oh, okay. No. What she discovered about Christianity, little, hardly. But she retold the history of the origins of the Luo all the way from the Egyptian belt. And it's called Princess Nyalak. You know, she surveys how they move and so on. And then in the royal bead, you find that she's talking about how the Luo culture survived. Of course, if you talk about Simbi Nyaima, you find any Luo, they will translate that one for you very nicely. And it was first of all rendered in Luo. It's now available. Just go and read. But what I can deduce from her writing that excited me was the confirmation of the Luo culture and religious tradition blossoming from the 900s AD following. And if you place 900 AD, therefore, against the Queen of Sheba and Abraham sojourning in Egypt and the coming of Moses and the Ten Commandments, all that, Jesus coming to Egypt, the day of Pentecost, early Christianity among Augustine, Athanasius, Cyprian, Tertullian, Origen, all this. Once you see all this history predating the 900 AD, actually 800 AD, talking about the 9th century, you will realize that not only does therefore that religious tradition of the Luo come a little later, but in terms of documentation, even though both are developing within the Egyptian belt, you have a faith that has, you know, practical documented books or narratives. There's documented history of the religion of Christianity, quite a lot of data, including books we read today from Akin Augustine and so on, versus the Princess Nyalak and the royal bead tradition.
Before we take the next question, well, after we take the next question, I'd just like to ask if there are any atheists or skeptics or people with of that persuasion, maybe agnostics, maybe you could ask the question after this one, if that's fine.
Okay, my name is YAK.
Your name is?
I don't
is?
Know how you will pronounce that.
Your name is who?
Yak.
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 Oh, wow.
Yes, I know there are so many pronunciation or meanings, but just take
this. Is that
spelling.
A good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know.
Yuck.
Anyway, my question is this. I hope you have answered it in parts, but I will still press it. Because I want to actually understand what your thesis want to achieve. Okay? Because one sense you have talked of... you know, not to have pride, or we African to have pride, but if there is any other achievement that your thesis will then I want to know. Second question, I attended a lecture, a public lecture by John Beattie. I hope you cited in your paper before. And he was talking of Christ in Africa. And at the end of it, what he said was that we don't need to import, okay, Christ's concept in the library to our villages. Rather, we should take, okay, the concept of Christ, because he was citing an example of a certain lady who have not been schooled, and he was talking of Christ. I think she was from Ghana or Nigeria, sort of thing. So, what is your position on this? Should we import our concept of Christ or Christianity from our background into the Bible, or should the Bible shape how we our cultures of Africa? What do you think of that?
Okay, those are wonderful questions. Let me begin by making a general comment first, and then answering your questions. The general comment I want to make is this. There's a world of difference between talking of a religion being traditional and a religion being indigenous. Traditional has tradition in mind, practice. Indigenous has the sense of origin, birth, what we would call cosmogony. Now, if you are going to say Christianity is indigenous to Africa, then the answer is no. If you want to say Christianity is traditional to Africa, then the answer, in my opinion, is yes. Christianity is a traditional African religion. And by virtue of practice and incubation on the African continent. Now, to your first question, what my thesis achieves, you cited only one, and that is encouraging the African person to be proud of himself as a citizen of the world and not to necessarily feel inferior and then sort of sulk and try and, you know, prove how he's only something if he can do R&B and and rock and roll. That rumba is just as sweet as benga and classical music. But that is a small, insignificant portion of my research. The most important things I want to bring out of this research, number one, is truth. Let's stop lying to each other. Let's stop lying when the facts are there. And so I want the scholars to stop lying. And to lying to my children, because I pay school fees to take my children to school, and I don't want them to be taught lies. And your brothers and your sisters. Another thing is I want restitution on the part of our historiography. Because, you see, if in the textbooks, of course, there was all this teaching about the first man to discover South Africa, Jan van Riebeck, and the first one to see Mount Kenya, and so on. I mean, we had seen the mountain before. So that kind of scholarship that presents Africa as what it is not must stop. And that is advanced by Western scholars. But if we are going to debunk the historiography from the West, we can then not settle for lies by our own African scholars. Something is wrong, whether you are African or not. Whether you say you are a Christian or an atheist, that's not even important to me. The issue is, do you believe in truth? And so, in fact, in a sense, I'm not even happy about the comment that if there are any atheists here, agnostics, now they can ask their question. You don't have to ask if you don't want. But the point is, if you can demonstrate that atheism is true, then please convert all of us. But if you're an atheist, for example, and you know, you hear the facts, but because you want to persuade a particular tradition, or because somebody pays you, or you've read a book that has a nice cover, so you think, you know, I'm saying, table the facts and argue systematically. Yeah, and so I would say I would like truth. I would like restitution on historiography. I would like media to do something. I would like the church in Africa to take its place and preach fearlessly, unapologetically. I want Christians in this continent to carry the Bibles without shame, and Christian students in the universities not to be intimidated. That is what I want out of this paper and much more. You read it. I have conclusions there. I even want some philosophical restitution and so on. I also want, if you're going to write a novel as a student or teacher of literature, then base it on facts, not on imaginations or political leanings, and call them truth. That is what the truth is. No, we will challenge it. Now, on your second question, the identity of Christ in Africa and whether we actually need the biblical importation of Christ into the African religious sphere. The first thing, I don't know what Mbiti is talking about on that. And I respect him. I actually think he's done a lot of good work. But in my opinion, his greater contribution is not on religion, it's on anthropology. Religion is interested in matters of truth and practice and so on. Anthropology, you just explain man in his environment. And I have a few other things that make me not take him seriously on the question of identity. Maybe I'll just list one that is very, very, that personally makes me want to puke. And that is his concept of time in Africa. And that you find in African Religions and Philosophy, 1969. Now, he says, most African communities do not have the sense of time they do not have a future, so to speak. They have the past and they have the present. And he cites some examples from the Akamba community and the Akikuyu community, and says, you know, and I just think, excuse me, Mbiti. And I begin with the Akamba community, where he's drawing his facts. Did the Akamba have prophets and seers? What is the work of prophets and seers? Looking into the future. Do the Akamba have the word for tomorrow? And the day after tomorrow? Do they? Any Akamba here? Kwani mmeogopa? I'm not calling you to the front. Do you have a word for tomorrow? Oh, ne? Is that future? Or that is present? or past? What about the Agikuyu? Roshio? Tuanane Roshio? What about these special prophets among the Agikuyu? So what am I saying? It's okay to say something, but it's something else if you can justify it. So I have a bit of a problem with that. And so with the question of identity, I don't know why we are eager to anthropologize, religion, or rather, facts, so that if it is African, therefore it's better. That is where I was talking about negative Afrocentrism. I doubt that I would want to go with Mbiti on that one. However, some good books exist. Thomas Oden, like you heard. If you find any work by, what is that West African brother that wrote on identities? I'll tell you. Having a senior moment. So, you can go it either way. I think I'll dispense with it that way. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your lecture. And I'm very happy to be an African Christian. I'm just curious about what your response would be. And especially I'm happy about the closing point about positive and negative Afrocentrism, where again now some people are too happy to Africanize Christianity to the point of saying Jesus is black, we are the true Jews, citing things like common cultural practices like sacrifice of animals, God appearing on a mountain, or such things, yeah? So, and yet, especially because they come in the name of God, it's such a deception.
Yeah.
Because they almost feel you inferior if you call Jesus, Jesus, instead of Yeshua, and such kind of things, and God Most High. And almost having a revulsion to anything white or European, etc. Yeah. So what would your caution and response be to such, especially for believers?
I think you've done a good job asking and answering your own question, which I'm very encouraged about, ma'am. I really believe that truth liberates. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, then are you truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So just like it is wrong to think that Eurocentrism is superior, so is it to think that Afrocentrism is superior. What we want is our place in the economy of God's kingdom coming on earth. And so I would say, if you read, publications by Azri and Kina, or you go back to Akina Molefi Asante, or you can go back to Cheikh Diop and some of the African American scholars and speakers like Malcolm X and so on, you find that over-radicalization of the truth is an untruth. So much as there was that romantic desire to come back to Africa and so Bob Marley thinks, Kingston is Babylon, and you want to come back to Ethiopia, and the fascination with the possibility of the Ark of the Covenant being found in Ethiopia, you find that you could go overboard with fantasization. And so that caution, that balance is needed. So I read someone like George James with a bit of caution, much as he makes a good case for the raid of North Africa and the stealing of the cultures of North Africa, and which is something that we can investigate further. That's a good area of research. But we can also extend the caution that if we saw what like Malcolm X came up with, and some of what resulted out of the so-called Afro scholarship, Afro education that began to say, because the blacks are people of the sun, they are more lively and more strong powered than the Europeans that are people of ice and weak and so on. In my paper, I say there's no corroboration there of the facts. And that kind of reconstruction in and of itself must be discouraged, that we must remember we are proud to be African, but we must also remember we are citizens of the world. I think I will only... Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. My coming book is called Christian Apologetics Through African Eyes. So I'm reading all of these things in the area of apologetics from an African perspective. God willing, I intend to launch it at All Saints on the 29th of July. Please mark that. I would need your company there. It would be nice to have you. Pray for me as I finish the last parts. There's a lot of traveling and ministry, and it's not easy to write as you travel. And then, in case you want to engage with me, I would like to give you my details. If you can follow, if you are interested in apologetics, you can actually like my Facebook page. It's called RKCCA, the Ruben Kigame Center for Christian Apologetics. That will deliver a lot of the apologetics stuff. If you want to just be in touch with me, you can like my page. It's called Kigame Media. Some of these discussions we will soon be putting on YouTube. I do have a YouTube channel. It's also Kigame Media. My Instagram is Papa Kigame, and then the Twitter handle is at Ruben_Kigame. You can email me using RubenKigame@gmail.com for every general mail. If you want to be a bit more private, you want to discuss personal things, you can use Kigame@fishkenya.net. Kigame@fishkenya.net. It's been lovely being here tonight. May God bless you. Thank you very much for having me. Oh, I forgot to say, I think I do have my first book out there somewhere. I think they will tell you about it.